May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And the Asin Roars website, I wrote a devotional yesterday, and I've been wanting to share that really all week here. Let me read a few verses to you. This is from Revelation chapter 4. Verse 6. Before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. In the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in the front and behind. If you read the Ezekiel 1 passage in the Old Testament, Exodus, it's a sea of glass like crystal. It has the hue of emerald a little bit. It's bluish. But it didn't just before the throne, it surrounds the throne. It's all around the throne. And the throne sits in the middle. So the whole throne room reality is in the middle of this sea that's like glass, that's like crystal, that has a blue hue to it. And in Revelation 15, it says this in verse 2. And as I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mixed with fire. And so here he describes a little bit more that it's a sea, like an ocean, but it's kind of like glass, like crystal. So it's translucent. There's a transparency about it. It has a bluish hue. Blue always speaks about heavenly things or revelation, but it's like mixed with fire. It has this fire thing to it. And so whenever you see scenes in Scripture over and over again, it's amazing how many times it'll talk about the angels and the 24 elders. 24 elders represent us, the church, in type in the book of Revelation, how they're just constantly falling down before the Lord and worshiping Him. But they're always doing that standing on the sea of glass that's like sapphire that's mixed with fire. And if you know from those who've been CTKers around, you've heard me say these things before, but the dominant thing you see in the throne room is fire. The Scripture says that the very throne of God is fire. It sits on wheels of fire. If you look in Ezekiel chapter 1, the revelation of Christ is that He's like burnished bronze that's on fire. He has eyes of fire. There is a sea of glass mixed with fire, and running through the middle of that is like a river running through the middle of the sea of fire. Now, when most people think about fire in Scripture, they think of judgment. But what I've discovered is that most of the places in Scripture that reference fire are talking about the love of God. There are places when it can talk about judgment, but most of the time it's talking about God's love. As a matter of fact, in Song of Solomon, Chapter 8, one of the classic places in all of Scripture that describes or some kind of definition or description of the love of God. It says in verse 6 of chapter 8, "Put me like a seal over your heart," the bridegroom Christ says to us, "like a seal on your arm, for my love is as strong as death, and my jealousy for you is a severe Sheol. My love is like a flashes of fire." The very flame, or the word is vehement flame, of the Lord, and it can't be quenched. It's amazing, the Scripture of God's love. And the point being, the idea being, is God's love for us isn't passive. And again, there's nothing passive about the Lord. We've said that a lot over time. But God's love for you isn't passive. It's not benevolent. It's not subtle. God loves you aggressively. He loves you fiercely. He loves you with a great passion that's endless, that never ends. And that's got nothing to do with your condition. If you're in Christ, that's how He loves you. Nothing can change that. As a matter of fact, that's the very revelation of that is the very thing that can change us. Now, I say all that to say is that when I think about spiritualities, as I mentioned in the devotional yesterday, I think of that life that we live here among ourselves in public, at home, in work, ministry, paying bills, doing the things we do, shopping. And I call that life the life beyond the veil, out kind of in the marketplace of life. And then there's that secret place of our lives that I call behind the veil, which is that place of prayer and the place of encountering Him, prayer and worship. And when I think about John, and when he wrote this stuff in the book of Revelation, he was 93 years old in the Isle of Patmos. And yet he has this encounter with God that I believe was typical for him. Again, I think John saw some things and he got some prophetic insight about humankind and our story that may have been unique, but I believe his normal encounter with the Lord was a throne room experience. I mentioned in the devotional yesterday that I enjoy hearing people talk about their throne room encounters with God. And the more, as we race through history, you hear more people talk about that. And a little over 12 years ago, when the Lord did a new thing in my life prophetically, some things like that happened in my life. I've never really talked much about them. The problem with that is that it can make you feel like it's for a select few. And how in the world do you posture yourself so that you get to have some of those cool experiences also? What I've come to realize over the years since then is I believe that every time I pray and every time you pray is a throne room experience. I do believe there are times when our encounter is so profound that our eyes are open to see it more clearly, and those are the things that people write about their throne room experience. But the truth is, we can be conscious and aware of that all the time. That's why God gave us holy imagination. We don't have to use imagination. We have the description of throne room here. And I say that for a number of reasons, but particularly in the book of the Revelation in chapter 4, when the voice of the Lord is speaking to John, and it's written in a tense, it's continuous. He was continually saying to John, come up here, and I'll show you things that must take place. And then John had this experience with the Lord on his throne, that all these cool things happened with worship. But you see, in this world beyond the veil, in our public life, we're called to live a life of lovesick obedience. Obedience never should be just a sense of duty. It should always flow out of a delight. That's why the scripture says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so God wants to liberate us beyond duty into a place of delighting, Psalm 40, verse 8, to do his will. But it's also a place of not just lovesick obedience, but fearless faith. We're called to live by faith. And Jesus said, fear not, only believe. Fearless faith. When I look at John and this 93-year-old man, who, when he had this amazing encounter with the Lord in John 13, when he lays his head on the breast of Jesus, and as he describes it in that sentence, he says, and he was reclining on Jesus' breast, the one whom Jesus was always loving. And that's the first time John ever refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus was always loving. Four more times in the Gospel of John, whenever he references himself, he describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus was always loving. And I've said this many times before, I believe that he was awakened to that reality as he laid his head on the breast of Christ. And he encountered the love of Jesus and the heartbeat of Jesus spiritually in a way he'd never heard had before. Again, I believe that's why he was the only one who stood at the cross. Because when he laid his head on the breast of Jesus, he understood how far Christ was willing to go for you and me out of love for us. And so when I look in the book of Revelation and I see in chapter 1 this old 93-year-old man, and I look at the book and I see this book, even though it's a book that describes all these great end time things, I believe it's just another story of an old man at prayer. Though he heard some unique things, I believe the things that he saw in terms of the throne room were very common for him. He says this in chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Jesus was his reality. From the seven spirits who are before his throne, and that's the Holy Spirit. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who's always loving us. That was John's dominant theology, that he knew he was the disciple whom Jesus was always loving. That was his identity. And he believed that was true about us. And John had that encounter probably 60 years or maybe more than 60 years earlier than this. Yet here is this old 93-year-old man isolated circumstantially on the island of Patmos. It was a prison colony. His circumstances and his situation wasn't very good. Yet his heart seemed to burn after all these years, just like it always had, as it did in the beginning, as if he was living spiritually, emotionally, with his head always on the breast of Jesus, constantly being reminded of his heart. Revelation chapter 4, speaking of the throne room and John being lifted up and seeing these things. In verse 5 it says, "And from the throne room proceed flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder." That's the aroused personality of God in response to one of his beloved, John, being present. "And there were seven lamps which were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." I mean, you know, God, the triune God, the three persons who make one, there's fierce love among themselves. And it says the Holy Spirit stands on this crystal sea of glass mixed with fire and burns before the throne himself. All that is to say this. How was that sustained in John? How could someone so old live with such passion still? Because he spent so much time behind the veil, on the sea of glass, mixed with fire, encountering the love of Christ. You see, if that sea of glass that stands before the throne is mixed with fire, it's the sea of God's impassioned love for us. And of course, that's where all the worship services will take place, are going to take place in heaven. And of course, we're going to be falling down before him again, because you're not just standing on, you're like standing in this sea of glass mixed with fire, this endless sea of God's love. And every time you pray, that's where you stand. And so beyond the veil, we live a life of fearless faith. We're called to live a life of fearless faith. We're called to live a life of lovesick obedience. But that's all nurtured in prayer and worship. Well, they go together, of course. You can't pray and not worship, not if you're really praying. And you can't worship and not pray. They kind of flow together. You can't like worship and things not come out of your mouth. Questions and all kinds of stuff. So that we become burning ones, just like the Holy Spirit. As we spend our time standing in the sea of glass mixed with fire, being impassioned by his passion for us, it's what sustains the stuff on the outside. Okay? Hope that was clear as mud. Oh, as clear as a sea of glass mixed with fire, hopefully, any better. In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.